Through the written word and the spoken word, may we hear the living word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus prayed for his disciples and then said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've been doing a lot of thinking about prayer lately. The power of prayer, the effects of prayer on the giver and on the receiver. It really is humbling, truly humbling, to watch prayer in action. You can see it move from one person to another. The Catechism defines prayer as responding to God by thought and by deed, with and without words. Prayers have been flooding to my family these last few months, and to watch the power of prayer and its transformative reverberations is a joy to behold. Our scripture, John 17, 20 through 26, are basically the last words Jesus has a chance to say to his disciples before he's going to be betrayed. He doesn't give them any last-minute instructions. He doesn't give them a pep talk. Jesus prayed for his disciples. John 17 is often referred to as the priestly prayer in many Bibles because Jesus intercedes for others before God as a priest would. This prayer, this pericope, has three main themes: belief, oneness, and love. Jesus prays for the people that believe in him and the people that believe because of the disciples and their words and their acts and for the whole world. Jesus prays for unity for the community so that they may all be one. This oneness demands that we include all, not only the people sitting in this church, but our prayers can and should extend to the whole world. Jesus mentions love 5 times in just these few verses. He uses the word love to describe the divine relationship that he has within the Trinity, with his disciples, and yes, with the whole world. God's love is a gift to us all. It is that magnetic force that God hopes will attract the world together. Love is the ingredient that the Lord prays will be within all of his followers. One of the commentators, F. Bolton Joyner, quips that this lectionary, this chapter on unity is followed directly by the Pentecost accounts. And he says, barriers and boundaries fall and unity breaks out when the Holy Spirit comes. And that is so true. Jesus' prayers for the disciples are like ripples through time, waves of belief, oneness, and love that lift you up. Powerful waves that can knock you over if you're not expecting them, or if you've never felt the power of prayer before. How sad it must be if someone has no one to pray for them, to wish them well. Some of you may be familiar with the word palanca. It's an odd word, and it sounds strange to my Anglo ears, but it comes from and means a lever or a hoist. In the Crescillo movement, the word means the spiritual force represented by voluntary prayer and sacrifice, which is done individually or in community, intentionally to help the recipient. How wonderful is that? A spiritual force that, in the same way, a lever enables a person to lift something which is beyond his or her strength. Prayer helps overcome the resistance to grace in our life. Prayer helps make life rise in abundance. Palanca comes in many sizes and shapes. Sometimes it's a note, sometimes it's cards, butterflies, crosses, or even a beautiful stole. All are powerful, intentional prayers designed to help the recipient. I keep my palanca in a box in a bookshelf next to my desk at home, and I pull it down when I need a lever, when I need to be lifted up, when I need help. I made my Crisillo number 162 in the Diocese of Southern Virginia, and I sat at the table of the sycamore tree. And that afternoon, when I had received my palanca, I was so in awe by the power of their belief in God, the unity we as Crisillistas share, and the love that I received from people that I had never met. A friend of mine was and still is so moved by the powerful message that the palanca gave him that he still has not opened all of his. He's just in awe of it so much. I received the note from a man who made his Crisillo at number 29, 133 weekends before me. That note still touches me to my core. And that man sits in this church today. It's funny how this Holy Spirit works. Jesus prayed for his disciples. And then he said, I ask not only on my behalf, but for those, but also on the belief of those who will believe in me. As I said, I've been thinking a lot about prayer and the power of prayer and the effect of prayer on the giver and the receiver. And if you look in the Book of Common Prayer on page 856 and 857, the Book of Common Prayer, you will see that there are many types of prayer. Some of you may know that my wife, my best friend in the world, recently was diagnosed with breast cancer. So you can imagine I've been doing a lot of prayer these days. But you may be surprised that my prayers are prayers of thanksgiving and praise. My faith in God and the God-given gifts of the Holy Spirit has bestowed on her doctors and nurses. I know that she will be fine and even stronger than before. So I'm not worried about that at all. My prayer of praises and thanksgivings are due to the overwhelming amount of love and prayer in all forms she has received. I have realized that even social media can be a medium for good. Text messages and posts are intentional prayers that lift her up. These prayers and positive notes perhaps are the modern equivalent of lighting a candle in church. More ripples from Jesus' love of faith, his prayer of faith, unity, and love. Our society does not make this fashionable, popular, or convenient to pray these days. But this last Ash Wednesday showed me firsthand how deeply people want prayer in their lives, a blessing, a hug, and they knew where to go. They knew that Hillary and others would be here at Holy Comforter on Monument Avenue, willing to give them ashes, prayers, and love. Blessings, unity, love equals prayer. Last year I mentioned that I had felt that I had been giving a call to a ministry beyond these walls, and how I was struggling because I'm being called to do something beyond my comfort zone. How can I stand on the corner of Staples Mill and offer prayers to people passing by and bringing those prayers back to this altar? I was struggling with that. How could I do that? Well, the Holy Comforter is still calling me out of my comfort zone. And I was discussing this struggle with a very creative woman here at this church in a conversation where recent life events and prayer came together. And she said, and I quote, "If the Outer Banks have brew through, we should have prayer through." What a great idea. I was reminded of the story of the Apostle Philip and the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading out loud the book of Isaiah while he was riding in his chariot. And Philip was invited into the chariot where he turned this gentleman's heart to Jesus. I thought this may have been the first drive-through conversion. But the Ethiopian official reminded me so much of the people today, busy, multitasking, in a rush to get from somewhere to do something. And that all is what I have been thinking about and praying about. How can I find a way to take our faith, unity, and love outside to the rest of the world? Think about it. What would happen if our community, if we went out and ministered to the people on Monument Avenue? Hundreds pass by jogging, walking, and drive by Holy Comforter every Saturday morning. And even if one person stops and we pray for him or her, a new ripple of prayer starts in a new pond. Now, what I'm envisioning is not a ministry just for me or the clergy, but for all the ministers of the church. That's right, all the ministers of the church. And that means you. I love quoting the Book of Common Prayer, which states, "The ministers of the church are the lay people, bishops, priests, and deacons." So you see, I'm the last guy in line. Think about it. Yesterday, you may have driven to Starbucks for a coffee, McDonald's for lunch. You may have gone through the drive-through bank or dry cleaner. How great would it be if people of Richmond knew that they could drive to the ministers on Monument for a prayer and share our faith, our unity, and most of all, our love for the whole world? Perhaps prayers and thanksgivings would get said that would have remained voiceless. Maybe people would come to see Holy Comforter as not just a beautiful church on the corner of Monument and Staples Mill, but a group of people willing to listen and pray for anyone, even if it's in their car. Amen.